It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discussed the statewide action plan for homelessness and efforts to help bring an end to homelessness and housing insecurity. This conversation is one in the coming weeks where we dive more deeply into this issue that touches communities. Thousands of Wisconsin residents are homeless, according to the National Alliance to End Homelessness. Call in at any point in the discussion to raise your question. Add your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Michael Bassford is director of the Interagency Council on Homelessness, the council part of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Michael, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much for having me today.
The homeless population in our state has been trending downward in recent years, according to point-in-time surveys, those estimates. How accurate are these surveys representing the homeless population?
So the point-in-time count is one way of few in which we are able to gauge the state of homelessness in Wisconsin. And what the point-in-time count is exactly what it says. Communities and agencies all over the country at the Department of Housing and Urban Development's requirements go out every January in the last week of January and count the number of people who are experiencing homelessness in emergency shelters and transitional housing, as well as those who are on the street, those who are sleeping in tents or in cars or just outside or in other places not meant for human habitation.
Before we go further, can you help us with that distinction in terminology between sheltered individuals and unsheltered homeless?
Certainly. All over the country and communities are facilities that will take people in for the night to get them off the street. Those are emergency shelters. So we count people that are in those situations as being sheltered, as opposed to anybody who is sleeping outside, which we call unsheltered.
And you say that the number of unsheltered homeless is growing in Wisconsin. Why are more people sleeping outside?
Well, there's a wide variety of reasons as to why people don't go to shelter. But the largest reason that we have for unsheltered homelessness and homelessness in general is the lack of available, affordable housing. Especially for people who are at low or extremely low income levels. According to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, we're about 127,000 units short of what we need for our population of low and extremely low income people.
That is a lot. I want to turn to the council releasing a state action plan to address, you know, that and other issues. The 2021 to 2023 plan says the single greatest barrier to securing stable housing is that lack of affordable housing unit availability. So how is the council trying to improve housing availability?
So, I mean, we're looking at all of the different ways that we can we can use resources that are out there and a lot of the best practices that communities have had and other states have had in increasing investments in housing development. It requires a substantial investment that cannot be denied. But we have learned in the past that it is actually less expensive for communities to put people into housing rather than to keep them on the streets experiencing homelessness.
We're talking about Wisconsin's homeless population. Michael Bassford oversees the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness, and you can join in the conversation at any point. Call in with a question. Share your perspectives at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Chris and Delavan. Chris, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just have a question about, it's my perception that a lot of towns and cities and communities that I travel between in southeastern Wisconsin seem to have an affinity for putting in like these, well, they're not building like affordable new homes, and it seems like they're not putting in like affordable, you know, housing apartments or anything like that. They just, it seems like they keep building these super expensive, like luxury apartment complexes. And I was wondering if, is that an actual trend, or is that just my perception? Because I feel like that just keeps like all living expenses really high and shuts people out.
Chris, thank you. Michael.
So what communities need to do in order to address homelessness and to address this housing gap is to really look at their development plans, you know, and their needs in their community, and to start making policies locally that will make it easier for low income and multifamily housing to be developed. You're right that an emphasis on producing single family homes continues, and that has to change. I mean, that's going to be up to each community to look at their specific needs and their specific housing policies, and to make the changes necessary so that we could better develop more and more affordable housing.
And rent is climbing in Wisconsin communities. That's from the National Rental Listing Aggregators. How does that affect people trying to secure stable housing?
It affects them greatly. It has been said that for every $100 increase in rent in an area, the homelessness numbers increase by 9%. That one, I don't think, has been completely researched out, but that's something that's commonly said, and it makes sense. You know, a lot of people who are at low income or extremely low income are either on fixed incomes because they have disabilities, or they're working at minimum wage jobs and have not seen much of an increase in their income over an extended period of time. And whenever the rent goes up, it just creates more and more barriers for these folks. It reduces the amount of housing that is available for them to be able to move into.
Michael Bassford leads the Interagency Council on Homelessness. It's part of the state agency, the Wisconsin Department of Administration. As we examine facets of homelessness, call in with a question. You can share your views at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are having conversations about how to address the needs of people who go without shelter and securing permanent housing in Wisconsin. And there's space to talk as we examine programs to help end homelessness. Call in with a question. Share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Michael Bassford directs the Interagency Council on Homelessness. Michael, we heard from Carol in Lake Geneva, who thinks that people have a not in my backyard or a NIMBY attitude to affordable housing and multifamily complexes like apartments. And Carol wonders, how do we change that perception?
That's an excellent question. And how we can, make people understand the need in each community to have this kind of development. I'll say this, it is the way we solve homelessness. We can't have this continuing mindset of not in my backyard for development of multifamily and low and housing that is for people who are lower and extremely low income, and then at the same time decry the number of people that we'll see on the street or sleeping in their cars as that number continues to grow. I mean, there is a there is a correlation between the number of housing units available and the number of people that are out there experiencing homelessness and unsheltered homelessness. So how we can get people to change their minds to do that, I don't know. I mean, whoever figures that out should probably get a Nobel Prize. But it's a but that's a very it's a very tough job, and it's up to every community to take a very deep look at what their needs are.
The state's Budget Writing Committee, Joint Finance Committee, rejected the council's funding request of $12 million for shelter and housing grants. How much money is the state spending to address homelessness?
Not enough. And it has been disappointing that we have not, we've been in successive budgets, been requesting funds to bring it up to adequate levels that we can, fund the agencies all over Wisconsin that are serving the growing number of people. And we're doing this in an atmosphere where for certain programs at the state level, we're spending less money now than we have in the past, from programs such as the Homelessness Prevention Program to the state Shelter Subsidy Grant Program, to the Housing Assistance Program. Back in 2007 and 2008, for those three programs, we were spending more money than we do now. We
So
were
you're
looking.
saying our funding levels now are less than what we were doing for this work on housing insecurity in 2007, 2008?
At the state level, yes. And so when we made budget requests to raise those and other programs to allow us to build that capacity, and also to bring online new programs that have been that are going to be doing things that are proof positive. Housing diversion, homelessness diversion, housing navigation, funding for landlords for landlord mitigation, if they take risks at housing people that have housing vouchers or that are in programs that are coming from homelessness into housing. We want to be able to help landlords as much as possible. And we can't do that until the legislature and the Joint Finance Committee provide those funds that we ask for.
Let's bring in Dee in McFarland. Dee, hi. What would you like to share?
I'm curious to have your speakers address the issue of the need to not only provide housing, but also improve infrastructure, such as public transportation, jobs near housing, affordable daycare. A lot of these communities, McFarland included, we're looking for ways to create affordable housing, but on the flip side, how do we support folks once we get them housed?
Michael.
So that another excellent question. So what we do at the Interagency Council, I mean, we're made up of several different departments in state government, from public instruction to workforce development to health services, Where we're working to really connect the dots between all of those things that the caller mentioned and housing stability. You're absolutely right that just building housing is not going to completely solve the issue for those who are transitioning from homelessness into housing. We need those wraparound services so that if they have mental health issues or substance abuse issues, that they're receiving the help that they need so that they could stay in housing. So that also included in that is a lot of work that we're doing through the Department of Workforce Development to provide job training and job placement and jobs with better wages for people who are experiencing homelessness so that they can be financially stable. And that's a big part of housing security as well. So there are a lot of issues that are connected up through housing and homelessness, just as the caller had mentioned.
Michael Basford with us oversees the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness. Michael, a WPR reporter was reporting on an uptick in homelessness in Milwaukee County recently. Spoke with Rachel Wagner, who recently lost a job and is living in a Milwaukee car park.
I have actually lived at the Hope Park and Ride a couple of different times throughout my life, and this is the worst that I've seen it. It used to be that you couldn't even tell people were staying there. And I would like myself, a person that lives there, for it to be able to get back like that. I don't want to see the trash where I live.
How should communities like Milwaukee address places where homeless people stay on a recurring basis?
Well, I mean, what they should do and what Milwaukee County does very well, I mean, in spite of the fact that that numbers are growing and are concerning there, is that they do provide a fair amount of outreach to those who are staying at park and rides and who are staying in tents and are known in, you know, for in encampments, is to really just flood that zone with supports, have, you know, once you've identified interventions to allow to get people into housing to really push those and to continue that effort until you get everybody out of an encampment situation. What we're seeing a lot of cities around the country that are doing, and this is wrong, is that they're bringing in the police to write a whole bunch of tickets to people who can't afford to pay those tickets, and then we'll have criminal charges on their record, which make it more, which is a continuing spiral that will make it more difficult to achieve housing. And then also, you know, just going in and sweeping out all of their possessions. This never solves any problems. All it does is that it moves people around, makes it harder for them to receive services and to get housing and to get into housing. And by the way, it just costs the taxpayers a lot more money.
You have this biennial action plan. What is the status of the plan? When would the state's current action plan end and a new plan begin?
So we say that the plan was from 21 to 23.
Yes.
We started that work on updating the state plan that we had received. We had received a plan from the previous administration. And although it was from the previous administration, there was a lot that we agreed with on that plan. And we wanted to update it with a few more ideas. And then a pandemic happened. And as we got through the pandemic, we realized we learned a lot, as a matter of fact, from the pandemic in terms of what we need to really address homelessness and the causes of homelessness in Wisconsin. So we finished the plan at the end of 2021. So we haven't really started working on the action items until 2022. And we're continuing to work on that through the end of this. We'll be working on making those complete by the end of next year. And as we're doing that next year, we'll be then drafting an update to the plan for the further next 3 years after next year.
So that right. that vision is continuing.
Yes.
Yes. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Kate. Anytime, and I appreciate being on.
Michael Bassford is director of the Interagency Council on Homelessness, the council part of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. And this conversation about homelessness, it continues as we look outside our borders to interventions in two western states, Utah and Washington. Call in with your question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.